Welcome, everybody, to another amazing episode of Take Two Podcast. This is going to be a wonderful episode for everyone listening out there. All of your wonders will be reviewed this evening. We've got Craig, Tony, and myself, Brian, on this evening. Tony, what's going on, brother?
Yo, what's going on?
Another beautiful evening. Craig, yourself?
Good, good. I refer to call it the Oneater Woman Show.
We have the Oneaters. That's a that thing you do reference. I got it.
Got it. Good. Good.
Yeah, I picked up. All right. So
topical. We're so topical.
This year. Very so topical. I don't understand why nobody picked up that reference from 15 years ago.
Because they still haven't returned the VHS to Blockbuster yet.
All right, be kind, rewind. This evening we've got our box office. We have our summer Blockbuster box office update for all of our hosts. Everyone is on the board, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We will have a full Wonder Woman review. It won't have spoilers. I'll say that now, but we'll kind of see how things go. We also have the Netflix show Keeper, right? Netflix, Tony?
Yes. Documentary on Netflix, The Keepers.
And Keepers, we have a little bit of news, and then, of course, our going forward. And we have a lot of promotions to tell everybody about. We have a lot of good shows and good stuff coming up. So, leading off, we have our box office. The big winner this weekend was Wonder Woman, $103 million, their opening weekend. It broke a couple of records. The first record that it breaks is for a female director, Patty Jenkins, and that shattered the next record, to be honest. I didn't even look up whom it broke. I don't know if either of you guys caught that.
It broke the director of 50 Shades, Sam Taylor Johnson, or whatever her name is.
Something. Ah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
That's good. If there was any movie that needed to defeat 50 Shades, it was this one.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, and what a powerful woman movie that is, too.
Right, 50 Shades, yeah.
That's actually pretty poetic for women. After that followed up is Captain Underpants, the first epic movie. The first, so that right there is a spoiler. There will be more films. $23 million coming in. It opened up this weekend, followed by Pirates at 22. Guardians of the Galaxy pulls a 9, so that finally fell into single digits. And then Baywatch rounded out the top 5 with $8.7 million. That is our box office. The biggest news there was, of course, Wonder Woman breaking $100 million, $103 million. Congrats to them. I think 4 out of our 6 hosts saw the film.
I believe so, yes.
So,
I saw it.
Yeah, so that goes straight to our Blockbuster update. Yes.
Yeah, we still have Nick in first place. He has $182.6 million between his two releases, Guardians of the Galaxy and Alien Covenant. And then Craig, first week on the board, right out the box.
Right out the box.
103 with the dub.
Yep.
Then,
just wait for another 2 weeks when Tupac movie puts me over the top.
There you go. Then Brian's next with his Pirates, 62.6.
Boom.
And then the bottom three, pretty close. They all are pretty crappy. Bo with his Underpants, what did he get, 23, you said?
And the movie as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed the pretty crappy.
So wait a minute. Yeah, Bo's Underpants are crappy.
I don't even think you noticed your own joke you put in there.
So anyway, what is it, 23? Is that what we went with?
Yes. Hang on, you lost me.
Poor Bo, he's not even here to defend himself.
Alright, 23.8 was what Bo had.
Okay, let me get that exact again. You ready to go again?
Oh, yeah. I didn't stop recording, though. We're rolling with it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Bo's crappy underpants, 23.8. Roy comes in after that. His underpants might be crappy, too, with Arthur and Wimpy Kid, 22.5. So, two movies, 22 mil. That's not looking good for Roy. And then I'm currently in last
underpants
place. Yeah, I'm currently in last place with 18.6 from Baywatch.
What was a bigger flop, Arthur or Baywatch? It's got to be Baywatch.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, at least promotion-wise, it's got to be
Baywatch. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Promotionally, it was not good.
I bet the Baywatch people were expecting, like, 60, 70 million.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, just with the
rock in it. Rock movies in general, I think, are in the 50s to start out anyway.
Sure. We got a couple more that come out this weekend that'll put from here on out, everybody starts adding up their total, so we have to do math the rest of the way out. But yeah, Craig, you're 2 weeks away from Eyes on Me. Next week's Mummy, but we'll get into that later.
So, you guys definitely went and saw Wonder Woman, though. I did not, because I'm a loser, even though it made
me... It was your movie!
I know! Your movie. It was my movie. I didn't even go see it.
But you hate women in film, so...
That's true. That's exactly why I didn't see it. And I know other people would see it, so I chose it, but, you know, me, myself, no reason.
Brian, you go ahead and kick off your review. This is going to be fun, because we haven't talked about it.
Patty Jenkins is the director. Gal Gadot. I believe it's Gadot, actually. But
oh, really? I thought it was Godot.
I thought so, too. It was Godot, yeah. In watching so many promo stuff, a lot of people say Godot. I thought we were being very hip and with it with the Godot, especially with her just being foreign. I'm sticking with Godot.
Yeah, I think they're just dumb American rubes.
I mean, the only way for us to be corrected on this is she needs to come on to Take Two Podcast and let us know the proper way to say your name.
Sold. She doesn't know how to say SpongeBob, so it's only fair.
That's true.
Chris Pine and the ass kicking Princess Buttercup Robin Wright.
Yeah.
We're in this film. I loved it. I will not say the phrase the best of the DCEU because there's only four of them that the ones to compare it to, but this movie is easily the best of the DCEU.
Yes, agreed.
The storyline, I hate to immediately compare it to Captain America's first one, because I liked this movie better than that, and I think this movie will project the rest of DC better than what that did. But it gave like a legitimacy to the role and a legitimacy to DC. I keep not knowing the word to say right there. It added humor, which is what DC wanted, and not over the top, not slapstick, not raunchy, but subtle little one-liners. It added emotion. There's a love story that wasn't beaten over the head with it between Steve and Trevor and Diana. And it added an origin story that also didn't beat you over the head with like this and all happened, which then gained, like, you kind of learned about Wonder Woman as she learned about becoming Wonder Woman, just involved in a storyline. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, they kind of gave you almost a backstory of everybody in a sense, like, the creation of everything, if you will, just by learning about that island and what went on there. I really enjoyed the movie. I did. I thought it was really good. I do feel like the reviews that came out beforehand may have overdone it for me. I was expecting a masterpiece, kind of.
Sure.
And I don't think it was that. I do think it was the best of those four movies, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely similar to Captain America, which I guess it's just the period that it takes place. You're automatically going to draw those comparisons.
Right.
I do think, like you said, in history, when you look back, this probably will stand as the better movie of the two. Mm. But since it came second, you're always going to draw that comparison. Like, did they copy a little bit off of it or whatever? Because you even had, like, the little group of friends that help out, very similar to the, what was her name, the Howling Commandos in the Captain America. I mean, very similar elements. And one of the things that bothered me about the movie, and it did bother me with Captain America, is you get to know these characters, you introduce them, and then you're not going to see them again because this movie was 100 years ago.
Right.
So those characters really can't come back unless they're doing them in flashbacks or whatever, which kind of sucks because a few of these the side characters were actually really good and carried the movie, and then you won't get a chance to see them again, which sucks. So, but yeah, Robin Wright was great. I don't know if you noticed, there was like a lot of great, like 50-something actors, which a lot of people say there's like ageist stuff too in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Robin Wright, Connie Nielsen, David Thewlis, Danny Houston. All these characters are in their 50s or older.
Sure.
They weren't the main two, you know, actors, but they carried a big chunk of the film, and they were all great in their roles, I thought.
Agreed. So. Across the board, the acting was fantastic. They did well to... I'm trying to not do spoilers, folks. So I'm trying to watch my sentences on what we say. And Craig is helping with that right now just by being on air. Craig, you're there, right?
I'm still here, yes. Trying to listen / not listen.
Super. No, listen, because it'll keep us from giving spoilers. I liked the little girl that played young Diana, and I thought she bled well into the teenage Diana, which then went well into, you know, adult, younger, you know, Diana. I thought those were all cast well, and I thought they didn't spend too much time on each one of the younger ones. Like, when we first saw 8-year-old Diana. I was like, oh, I hope we don't get 25 minutes of this. But we didn't. She served her purpose. Her character actually served a purpose. It gave us the whole backstory of the island and why it's hidden and how Zeus created it and for why. And then we moved into teenage Diana, which then gave you why she was being trained and wanted to be trained to be a warrior, and then why her mom didn't want her to be. So her character served a purpose. And then it then quickly then moved us into Gal Gadot and adult Diana and her purpose. I thought it was awesome, man. I mean, the scene with the big unveil of her in the costume and her outfit was just awesome and perfect use of the cinematography, and with the way they unveiled it was great. The use of the villains I thought was fantastic. They didn't, you know, none of the trailers gave away too much, even though you had a feeling you knew who it was going to be. Towards the end, it's still, you're like, oh, that was pretty awesome. And then with the love story, it gets you at the end. Definitely gets you with a couple of things with the love story between her and Steve Trevor.
Yeah, I will say that I love Gal Gadot. We commented a little bit before about how attractive she is. She does look like she is a flawless human being, like she is molded out of clay. So she's very believable as a god. However, I don't know that her acting is top-notch, because I didn't feel like her emotional scenes, the two that I can think of where there's a death involved in the movie, I didn't feel like her reactions were that amazing, or like her acting skill was not that great. I will give her, the action sequences were great. I thought she obviously trained for them, and they did a lot of wonderful stuff with CGI and whatnot too, but mm-hmm. you can tell that she trained for it and she's good. But I don't know about her dramatic acting skills. I don't know if that was there. Do you agree with that or no?
I do. And I know the exact scenes you're talking about as soon as you said that. So, you know, I'm with you. Hopefully, you know, granted, this is only Godot's, you know, fourth major film, if that. Yeah. And that's
two counting. Two of those were Fast and Furious, right? Two or three?
Yeah. And then Dawn of Justice was the other, which she was a side part. So, you know, obviously this is her first big lead. Besides the Keeping Up with the Joneses, but I don't know how much she was in that with John Hamm and Galifianakis.
She's like a co-lead, I think.
Right. So either way, I mean, we can easily call it that. This was her first big leading role, so we'll see. Sure. We'll give it. It wasn't anything that you were fully turned off by, I don't think.
No. But I mean, her character is fantastic. She stole Batman vs Superman for me. Her couple scenes were great.
Oh, 100%.
And she fills this role so perfectly. I mean, I'm excited. They've already come out and said they want to do a second one. And, you know, and I'm looking forward to her involvement in Justice League. I think it's a great character. It's long overdue. It really does blow my mind that they've never brought her character to film yet.
Sure.
You know, you've had so many versions of Batman, so many versions of Superman, Spider-Man, all these characters. So it does make you think, is there some credence to that? You know, we can't do women superhero or whatever, but they just proved it wrong. You can.
Yeah,
so.
It was a great movie. It keeps you more than entertained the entire time, and
because it is over 2 hours, right?
Yeah, 2:21. It's lengthy, but there were few moments where I felt like, all right, let's get things going here.
I was actually surprised at how well they did the backstory, the beginning, the origin, and whatnot. Like you said, it didn't really linger. It didn't spend too long on it. It was well done. It gave you the info you needed, and it moved it along.
And it served a purpose. It bled you into the reason why she joined the war to then come to America. You know, it just didn't give you half an hour of like, oh, here's how she came to be. And also, she doesn't have all of her powers or know anything about powers throughout, and gains them throughout the film. So even that was cool, because you were kind of like learning with her at the same time. And as far as the woman stuff, you know, it didn't beat you over the head with, you know, oh, a man could never do it, so a woman will do it. You know, she just, when she's fighting in the war, she just is a warrior. So she goes and fights it, and only the other people around her notice that she's a woman. And I thought that was good, because there, you know, other stuff, i.e. like the Supergirl TV show, they have to say those lines of dialogue of like, oh, we need a woman, or a woman can do it, or girl power. And they don't go down that road, I didn't feel, in this film at all. They just treat everyone as an equal and go forward.
Well, there was a lot of like sequences where she was made to feel less than by what was going on around her, but it didn't affect her.
Right.
She was a strong woman, and that's all she's ever known. That's how she was raised, and that's how she, you know, kicks ass and takes names and all that. So,
sure.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like I said, I think the reviews and all that were a little overblown. It's not like the best movie you're ever going to see, but it's definitely the best of these four that have come out recently, and I'm excited for where it's going.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What did you think about Chris Pine in this too? I kind of liked him. I kind of had like a feeling that he could do like Indiana Jones or something like that. Like he had that good action hero vibe about him.
All right. Well, don't say what do you think and then take my answer.
That's your answer? Oh, okay.
Well, it's funny. We mentioned this the other day and purposely we stopped talking about it because I wanted to hear this kind of on air, your initial. I've never been overly impressed with his career. I actually didn't realize he was in so many films when we were looking him up. And carte blanche, I've never seen the Star Treks, so I don't, you know, I'm limited. But I liked him a lot in this movie. I thought he was great. And there was times where it felt like he was driving the movie a little bit. I really enjoyed him.
Yeah, because they've tried with him. I feel like he's one of these guys that they've tried a couple franchises and it just didn't work. Like Star Trek has had a little bit of success, 3 movies. But they tried to put him in Jack Ryan. It was just the 1 movie. They tried to put him in what was the other thing they tried to? They tried to do something else with him too, and it was like 1 movie, and he was done. So, I don't know. I got that real good adventure hero vibe out of him in this movie, and I think he did it well.
Yeah, so. The motorcycle leather jacket. Definitely, I immediately thought Indiana Jones as well.
Wait, so you're saying that he'd be better than Shia LaBeouf?
He would sell more than 1 ticket.
Gotcha.
LaBeouf did in his previous film. Anywho.
Yeah, so what would you guys, what's in his comedy there?
Yeah, what would you guys give it for the score? I mean, because a lot of critics are doing 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, like, you know, top 5 movies of the year. Like,
I don't know if I'd go that strong. No, I wouldn't. I personally wouldn't. I felt like it was a little predictable or cheesy somewhat in parts where, and I don't know, I don't want to say cheesy, but I don't know if I'm just jaded from seeing so many of these movies where it's just like you kind of know what's coming anymore. Like I've seen it all before. Like they didn't blow me away with anything. There was maybe 2 fight scenes where I was like, all right, wow, that was good. But otherwise it wasn't like you're blown away. You know what I mean? Like you see something like Guardians for the first time and it's a totally different concept. You know, this is basically Superman again or whatever, like one of these other big movies, and there's not really that much. We're not reinventing the wheel, so it didn't blow me away completely. So I'd say 7, 7.5.
I did like the little throwback to Superman 1, Richard Donner's from 79 that they gave it when she they're in a dark alley or a back alley, I mean, and they go to shoot Chris Pine's character and she reaches out and blocks it with her bracelet and lands in his hand a la when Chris Reeve caught the bullet in front of Lois Lane in that one. I love that scene. Yeah. 8.5 for me. The final fight scene with the final villain was a little lacking, I felt.
Sure.
And kind of wrapped up a little quicker compared to the rest of the fight.
Agreed. The war battle sequence was much better.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the best part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I watch it again, you could talk me up to a 9. I did enjoy it. I was pleasantly surprised with a lot of it. You're right that, you know, it has its comic book predictability, but I liked that we weren't beaten over the head with who the villain was going to be. So that was a mild reveal, even though you knew you could figure it out. But
did you catch the couple scenes, though, of like I said, we already had the like sexist stuff. They did that a little bit. Like, why is this woman in here? Or why am I wearing these clothes? I can't fight, you know, things like that. Like just talking about women in the period and how they were not respected, blah, blah, blah. But you also had, you know, one of the little band of brothers that travel around with them. They all had their little moment of like, my race is, you know, discriminated against too. Like we had to bring all that in, which I thought was a little weird and like political heavy handedness.
Yeah. The one guy threw in stuff, you know, he was, they asked him where
the color of my skin or whatever, right?
And
or
he said, oh, my
guy was like a Native American. He had to talk about his thing, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Not really that necessary here. We get it. Maybe that's just me overanalyzing. You know I'm like that, so.
No, it's all right. That's our job. We host a podcast.
Oh, we do? I thought we were just talking.
Ha!
What is this cast you talk about?
I had one more point I wanted to make and I've forgotten it. Oh, I was at a 10 out of 10 when Robin Wright with the 3 arrows in that fight scene.
Yeah, that was sweet. That was sweet.
Yeah.
She was badass. She was more badass than her mom.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Robin Wright plays the general of the Amazonian army. Antipy, I think is how you would say her name. Antipy.
Antiope.
Yeah. Or Antiope. Yeah. But yeah, she trains Wonder Woman, and then they get into a big, huge fight scene, a big battle on the beach, and she kicks everybody's ass. It's pretty fantastic.
Now, two things I'll say. Did you feel like they should have tried to get Linda Carter in there?
Yes, I was bummed to not see her in any way, even something stupid and quick.
Yeah, just anything would have been nice. Obviously, there's no after credit scenes, so don't waste your time waiting for that. But I kind of feel like I wanted something, or maybe a little bit of like a tease more to the Justice League. You kind of get it at the end, but not enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily say this, it doesn't tease at all. I mean, just because we know Justice League's coming out, that's kind of why it gives you a little nod, but yeah.
Yeah, that could have been just a tease for a sequel for her. It didn't really mean... Sure. Yeah, they don't really give you any info for Justice League. They don't show you any other characters, which could have been cool. There's a little bit of a nod to one character, but you don't see him. But,
yeah. Agreed.
I don't know. I would have liked a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's weird to see a comic film to not have any whatsoever. And then, I mean, it opens up with a Wayne Enterprises truck driving, so you're thinking you're going to get something of somebody, but I guess that's DC's thing. They don't do the post credit. DC doesn't like it. Oh wait, the best part of the entire thing is DC's new intro.
Oh yeah, I did like that.
Yeah, Craig.
One of the things I saw is obviously I've not seen the new intro, but Green Lantern's in the new intro.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they're talking about how that's possibly him coming into Justice League.
Yeah, the new intro is pretty badass. And they show a few of them, and then they show they pan out for a wide shot that shows like 50 heroes silhouettes. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did like that.
All right, wrapping up. We loved the movie. It was great. It's well worth your money. Go see it in the theaters. We will have a review combo from a few of us on our website, take2podcast.com, very shortly. So look for that by the end of the week, because we have to kind of combine a couple different reviews. But take2podcast.com and at take2podcast on Twitter. Send us your thoughts about Wonder Woman. What did you think about the movie? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Did you absolutely love it? And for some of you out there, how many times have you seen it already? I know one person's already seen it. Three I was talking to today, which is
what?
Yeah.
Ooh, three times.
A friend of my wife's who's very big into the girl. Into the girl power things.
Does she have a job?
Yeah, I mean, today's Monday. It came out Thursday.
Jeez.
She actually skipped a day. She had to sleep. Anywho, okay. We recommend it. It is Take Two Podcast recommended. So, Craigie, any thoughts, any questions before we move on?
Fine, I'll go. Jeez.
It is worth it. It is worth seeing.
No, yeah, I was going to go. I just didn't have time this weekend, but yeah, I'm definitely going to go check it out.
Like I said,
everything looks good about it, so I see no reason. There's no reason why I feel anybody should not see it who likes all these other comic book movies.
Sure, but I would say temper your expectations a little bit. Don't go in thinking it's going to be the holy grail of film.
Fuck it. Yeah. Temper them a lot. It sucked, dude. Just go anyway.
Bring them all the way down, and then I'll be super happy with how good it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like we talked about before. People are like afraid to give it a bad review because it's a female lead. Like the Rotten Tomatoes score is ridiculous, and it's like somebody can say something bad about it. It doesn't mean like women. I mean,
yes, yeah. Yeah. Agree. There may be a little bit in there. I agree on that one.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we have another review. Tony, you saw The Keepers on Netflix?
Yeah, I forgot to mention this last week. I don't need to go real in-depth with you guys. I already wrote it up on take2podcast.com. It is a 7-part documentary. Craig, usually this is your area, but I really got into this one. It's got a little local storyline to it. It takes place in Baltimore. It's about two missing women from the 1960s, cold case files that were never solved. And there's a couple people that are still trying to find justice for these people that were missing, went missing and murdered, were murdered. And people are still trying to find answers for this, 50 years later almost. And so the documentary goes in and it kind of evolves into different issues, different storylines. You kind of find out about a possible sexual abuse scandal within the local Catholic Church and the cover-up possibly, and maybe that's why these women went missing and were murdered. So it gets more interesting as it goes on, and it's kind of hard to get answers from it, though, just because of the time frame and how far everything has gone along. So some of the people are dead or evidence wasn't collected properly because it was in the late 60s and they didn't have the technology and all that. But it's definitely an interesting watch. It's rough to watch, maybe in parts, some of the stuff that comes out, and it might anger you to find out about some of the things that went on and were, you know, possibly covered up or done on behalf of the church and things like that. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I was kind of addicted to it and just wanted to pump through episode after episode. So, it, like I said, it might be a tough watch, but it is kind of a must watch, I thought. So, if you liked Making a Murderer, or if you listen to
that, it's similar to that.
Kind of, or it's similar to like Serial or S Town, those podcasts that we've listened to before. All that kind of stuff. If you like that, you will like this. It's very true crime, you know, cold case file stuff, and it's interesting. And especially since we have a local tie to this area, I thought it was worth checking out. So, go check it out if you haven't yet.
Yep.
Cool.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. You want to lead off with some news?
Yeah, the only other news that I have, well, one of my favorite shows, actually two of my favorite shows have finished up in the last week, their season finales. We had The Americans wrapped up this week, which I think I'm the only one that watches it out of you guys, right? No one else watches?
Correct.
No, I've tried starting it a couple times back in season one, but I don't. What are they on now? Three? Four?
This was the fifth season.
Fifth? Oh, I'm so behind.
Yeah. Well, they've already announced that next season is it. They're ending it in the sixth season. So we'll get a 10-episode sixth season in 2018. But it's a great show. If you haven't gotten on board with it, there is time. Go back and watch it all. Five seasons, 13 episodes a season, roughly. Great performances. Kerry Russell is amazing. And just the storyline is very smart. Just, you know, Russian spies living in America, and they have an FBI agent living next door to them. Like, that's basically the premise of it. And you learn all these different missions and things that they do, and it kind of is like a twist on the spy genre because you're almost rooting for the enemy in our homeland in a way. You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of supporting the Russians in America. You want them to succeed even though they're, like, against us. It's kind of interesting the way they do that. So,
and similar to what will be happening soon in real life.
Yeah, I mean, and this takes place in 80s, like, Cold War stuff. So, yeah, it's very similar stuff that's going on now.
I could only make that comment with Bo not being on the show.
What's that?
I could only make that comment since Bo isn't on the show tonight.
Oh, yeah, we would have talked for 20 more minutes about that. but one of the more interesting things that they did in season 5 was they accelerated their own, like, family drama, and they've kind of started to train their own daughter to maybe be an agent as well. And it's been the same girl playing it throughout the 5 seasons, and she's grown on the show, and now she's like a 16 to 18-year-old girl. So they're starting to kind of train her and tell her the truth about what's going on. And it's interesting the way they've done it. And the actress, Holly Taylor, plays Paige Jennings. It's cool to think back at the first season where she was a kid, and now she's like kind of turned it into this little badass. So it's fun. It's a fun watch. It's definitely worth catching up on. There's a bunch of other like small characters played by great actors. Frank Langella is in it. Margot Martindale, I don't know if you know who she is. She's great. Just small roles throughout, but really good, interesting show. It's kind of a slow burn, you know, spy stuff. But if you got time, go back and watch it. And I'll write up a review of the fifth season for TakeTwoPodcast.com.
Cool.
And then our other show that wrapped up this week is The Leftovers, Snipple, which Brian and I and Roy sometimes have been covering throughout the season. So we are going to record the season finale episode soon and have that out for you guys too. So look out for that special episode.
Very sad. Very bittersweet that it's over.
It was good, though. I think it was good. We'll talk about it more if you want to hear our thoughts. Look up our episode.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, back to actual news. We had the season 3 big bad of Supergirl was announced. Rein. R-E-I-G-N.
Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, which will be played by Odette Annabelle. I don't know. Did they tease that enough for you in the series finale? You watched that show.
No, all they teased was, you know, that there was going to be a, you know, an alien villain coming, and since it was from Krypton, you assume it's going to have some super strength. So, you know, someone badass is coming, but they didn't do male, female.
It was definitely somebody from, like, you know, what appears to be like an evil faction on Krypton. Like, yeah.
Okay. Well, now you have confirmation as to what that character will be. I'm not familiar with any of that stuff, so I don't know if that's good or bad for you guys.
Well, something new. Hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll be something new for the storyline next year.
Yeah, they're not going down the old, like, Brainiac, Zod, like, same old Doomsday, Darkseid, all that. I feel like you always have those same couple villains in the superhero, like Superman and stuff.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely something they haven't done. She's only been in the comic books. Yeah.
Otherwise, there's a little bit of casting rumors going around. Apparently, Universal is after The Rock for the Wolfman. They're after Angelina Jolie for Bride of Frankenstein, which actually that one, they're saying that's closer than you think to being, like, locked up.
Huh. Yeah. So maybe, that's their next movie.
Yeah,
they've already said it's Mommy and then Bride of Frankenstein in 2019. They've already said,
yep,
like, that's the next movie in this whole dark universe thing.
By the time you're listening, so that may already be locked up.
That just seems so far away. That's 2019, and Mommy comes out this week. That just seems so far away. Just the universe.
It takes at least a year probably to film and do post.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I wish they had booked all of this stuff a little closer together or delayed the Mummy a little while.
Yeah, that's how I feel with King Kong.
Fully agree, yeah.
I wish they weren't, you know, they had a lot of momentum coming off that. I wish you were going forward with the Godzilla versus Kong sooner, not 2020.
Well, that's Universal too, right?
Yes.
I don't know. I believe so. Maybe.
I believe,
you know, so I wouldn't be surprised. Like, obviously somebody like Marvel and Disney Studios and stuff, they have this stuff sort of planned out, and they, you know, they're already filming movies that don't come out till 2018.
Sure.
You know, right now, I think Universal's probably still on that. Well, we got to make sure this movie does well before we actually look into a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that whole Dark Universe thing, they were going to build the whole thing about that Dracula Untold until it flopped completely, and so now they had to start again with Mummy. So maybe they're making sure Mummy works before they go full in with Bride of Frankenstein and realize they got to start again with that one.
It is interesting that they've announced all this before Mummy even comes out. Like, what if Mummy's just a huge flop too?
Yeah.
Well, they're already talking about being, I don't know if this is anybody's news, but that they might get sued for the Dark Universe name.
I saw that, of the
DC Comics, like, group.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Constantine and Swamp Thing and all those. So, like, I don't know if DC is actually suing them or if they're just talks about them doing that, but.
Yeah. Otherwise, we had Haley Steinfeld. Why am I not able to talk tonight? Haley Steinfeld. Haley Steinfeld, who, if you saw True Grit, she was in that. Apparently, they're going to sign her to star in the spinoff from Transformers, Bumblebee, the Bumblebee film.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. There's
When's that rumor, for? What year?
What's that?
Do they put a date on it at all?
I didn't see a year. If you give me a minute, I can look that up. But I don't. I mean,
no. I hate it when we look up news while we're talking.
Yeah, that's the worst. But
worse.
It's here you go. June of 2018. It does say.
Oh, cool.
So okay, that's quick. So that must be moving right along. I don't know. Have you guys watched the trailers for the new Transformers? I'm not excited for it at all.
I saw the first one, and then they keep dropping them, but I'm.
I think there was one for Wonder Woman, wasn't there, Brian?
Yeah, there was.
I did not get excited for it at all.
Nah.
Yeah, I think that's sort of done. I mean, when they messed up Dinobots, I wanted nothing to do with it anymore.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, Gotham has a season finale, actually, while we're recording tonight, and they're apparently going to introduce Ra's al Ghul and Harley Quinn, and there was also a clip of, I don't know, looking forward for the season of next season that was released, and apparently it shows a hint for Scarecrow that he may be in next season as well. So and not tonight, but he may be there for next season. So.
We'll see how they do it. I'm interested to see what they do with Harley Quinn. They keep on putting out these characters that Batman needs to be older than.
Yeah.
But now they're
older. Well, and they kind of already teased Scarecrow. What was that, season one, where they had, like, Dr. Crane on there?
Yes, they did, because that. I've only watched up to end of season two.
Yeah.
But yeah, season one they had Crane on.
So he maybe just be like a younger Scarecrow, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Did you see the rumor that he could be Owlman?
Yeah, I think I sent that to you
guys. I did see that,
I mean, I remember you sent it to me. I was just trying to do cool radio, like, hey, did you see that? I'm like,
we can edit that out. Try it again. Take two. Literally.
Take that.
Did you see that he might be Owlman and not Batman?
What? Who's Owlman?
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, somewhere out there, I read an article that it actually makes sense. The theory that they're setting up with the Court of Owls, how they're grooming him to take over the city and be dark, and that's exactly what Owlman did in Earth 2-ish or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would be let down by that, though, if that's what they actually did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good theory. I think it's a theory that works with what they have going on, but there's no way they're going to do that. Like,
yeah, my hand is raised.
Owlman is not popular enough for them to do something like that.
No. But that's all I got for news. Go ahead, whoever else has got something.
That was a beautiful segue. So I'll take it then.
Super. I was going to rock, paper, scissors you for it, but go ahead.
Yeah. That's the best thing to do over audio. Whatever you say, I beat it. So in Wonder Woman news, they did drop a teaser today for the new movie Professor Marston and the Wonder Women, which is a true story movie that they're doing about the guy who created Wonder Woman, Dr. Marston. Do you guys even know anything about him?
No.
No. He's the guy who created the lie detector. And then he also created the Wonder Woman character, hence the whole Lasso of Truth thing.
Oh.
She has, but there's this whole, he was very, all about, feminists and superhero and stuff like that, but then everybody was saying how, she was like, there was sexuality and stuff like that didn't need to be shown in comic books, but this whole time, Wonder Woman, he actually based off of his polygamist second wife that nobody knew existed. Her name was Olive something. I can't remember what her name was, but
Oil, I believe.
Yes, Olive Oil was her name. Similar body type to Wonder Woman. Uh-huh. And so there was this whole secret that he kept about all that he didn't want to tell anybody, because then they would look at Wonder Woman different and all that sort of stuff. So this movie that's coming out, it's Luke Evans stars as the professor, and it's coming out as I think they said later this year. It's supposed to be the end, December-ish.
It's an actual movie? I thought it was a documentary.
No, an actual movie, yeah.
Luke Evans. Okay.
There's a couple. Nobody else I really recognized right off the bat, but Luke Evans was the main person I recognized.
Okay. Because I was going to ask you, did you ever watch that Batman and Bill documentary that came out?
The one that was on, was it
Hulu? Yeah.
I hadn't watched it yet. It's still on my list, but all the reviews I keep reading about it said it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's about, the co-creator of Batman. A lot of people don't know his story or whatever.
Right, and then he's saying how Bob Kane sort of took it all from him and, took a lot of the credit for it. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I'll just check that out. I'll write a review about it.
There you go.
Let's see, in some nice sequel news, they announced the name for the Top Gun 2. The sequel is coming out. Tom Cruise announced it. It's going to be called Top Gun Maverick. It's too cool to have a number. But I find that very interesting because, as I think we discussed before, I don't know how you're going to do, he can't really, I guess he can still fly. I don't know. It seems like he would be more an instructor now. So it's like, hey, come hang out at my school with Maverick. Seems a little
odd. He's taking over the instructor role, isn't he?
Yeah, he's taking over the Tom Skerritt role.
How good are his volleyball skills?
I don't know.
At this point?
Mm-hmm. Though I did see some tweets going out from Val Kilmer saying he's ready.
Of course he is. He's got nothing else to do.
He's a wonderful person. And there's so much going on.
Nah, he doesn't do anything.
No, he really doesn't.
Which, supposedly, he's been blackballed, right? Isn't that the story there?
Kilmer has?
Yeah, I heard that he was Schumacher, did not like working with him on the Batman movie, and basically told everyone in Hollywood not to work with him after that, and that's why he's been so scantily used throughout the years.
Really interesting.
That's what I heard. I don't know.
Let's look into that. Poor Val. I thought he was great in The Saint. I love that movie.
Yeah.
True, true.
But if you think about it, he hasn't done much in the last...
No, he really hasn't.
No.
15 years, I mean.
Mm-hmm. There's some news about Suicide Squad 2. Filming to start in 2018. The only issue is that this news is coming from Joel Kinnaman, the guy who played Rick Flagg. He's the one that says, oh, there's a script being worked on right now that's almost done, and we're going to start filming in 2018. Nobody else has said anything about this, including DC. So not really sure how much of that is true or how much that might just be wishful thinking on his part.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like Joel Kinnaman, I'll tell you that. Yeah. If you're watching House of Cards, he's great this season.
Yeah. And I looked it up. I mean, the worldwide, the movie made $745 million. So there's, as much as people bash that movie and don't like it, if they can make that kind of money, they're going to do a sequel. And there's no reason they wouldn't.
Sure.
And then last, there's some news coming out for 13 Reasons Why Season 2, which I know. Did you ever watch, Tony? Did you watch it yet?
No, I was riveted by your interview.
But riveted!
I have not watched
Amy Hargreaves' interview, yes.
Yes.
Go back and listen to that if you haven't, when we interviewed Amy Hargreaves a few episodes back. And then me and Brian and Bo did a special episode all about 13 Reasons Why. But some Season 2 news has started to come out. The showrunner, Brian Yorkie, and Catherine Langford, the girl who played Hannah, the main star of it, were at a Netflix panel. And they said that it's going to have the same sort of format with a narrator telling things. And it actually is going to be a lot of the same stories or the same events from Season 1, but just from a different perspective. The way that Yorkie kind of put it was, always know that there's more than one side to a story. Like, we saw Hannah's, but in this version there could be up to 12 different sides based on all the characters that are involved in it. So there is going to be some talk about what happens at the end and how Clay deals with it, but a lot of it is still going to be flashing back to Season 1, seeing how other people saw Hannah. The rumor is maybe more from Tony's perspective. Was the rumor that's coming out, but like I said, that's just rumor. So,
be interesting.
Yeah, because they said one of the things they pointed out is how Tony said, you know, he liked Hannah, he appreciated her, but she was a lot of drama. So you kind of would see a whole different perspective than, you know, Clay's super, she's awesome, and all this horrible stuff happened to her, you know. So it'll be interesting to see. I guess a nice little twist on it. So
super.
That's all the news I got.
Cool. I only have a couple of quick ones. James Corden from The Late Late Show is recording in London this week upcoming. Huge guest list of a lot of English actors out there, but they have now needed to almost triple their security due to the recent London terrorist attacks, which is sad to hear that that sort of thing has to go on. And also, I have that Al Pacino has been cast as Joe Paterno. They're going to be doing a film about Joe Paterno's life. I'm a little intrigued because you can make two totally separate movies here based on Joe Paterno. You can do one, him as just growing up and the football coach and arguably the best college football coach of all time. And then you can do an entire another film about him and the Penn State scandal with Sandusky and such. So
I'm sure HBO is going to skew towards the scandal.
Yes. I feel ratings maybe a little bit higher on that storyline rather than just some guys
outside of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly. But that's actually all the news that I have, and that'll wrap us up, and that'll push us towards our going forward. Coming out this weekend, movie-wise, you've got Megan Levy, that's starring Kate Mara, and Tom Felton, Brad Whitford. That's a true story about a young Marine and her dog that are saving lives in Iraq. You have It Comes at Night with Joel Edgerton. That actually right now has an 89 Metascore.
Looks good.
Yeah.
It does look good, yeah.
And then the big one, which I feel everyone should see, the only movie that everyone should see, and you should see it 10 times each, everybody, is The Mummy. I say that because I have it in the Blockbuster draft. Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe, and this kicks off, as we were just saying, Universal's big dark universe that they're going to do. I'm interested, but without all of that other stuff. I think it looks all right.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I might check it out if I get a chance.
Super.
Yeah, it does look good.
Super. As far as Take Two podcasts going forward, we have a bunch of fun stuff coming up. Like Tony mentioned earlier, Leftovers, our season finale review. We'll talk about not only this episode, but all three seasons combined and our thoughts about it and say goodbye and put a bow on Leftovers. Also, we have an iZombie episode soon to be recorded and released this week. Craig, does that sound almost accurate?
Yep. Yeah, me and Nick are going to record it on Thursday after the newest episode. So we should have it up Thursday night, maybe early Friday.
Super. Also, the boys are very close. They are in talks of doing a gaming episode. It will happen. Stuff's been moving on that. So for you gamers out there, look for that to be coming out shortly. All about games and buttons and all that fun stuff.
And beeps and bloops.
Yes. And lastly, we had a blast last week at Hard Rock Cafe. and their Brews and Beats thing that they do every single Wednesday night, 5 to 9. It has happy hour and then bleeds right over into the late night if you want. They have live music and a local brewery, and it's different every week. We will be back this week, next week, and the following. We are booked to actually be there the next three Wednesdays. Done deal. So Take Two Podcast will be in Baltimore at Hard Rock Cafe, outside on the water. Come and join us. Bring friends. Bring lots of them. Check out a brand new band. This week coming up, which will be tomorrow by the time you listen to it, this Wednesday, will be Flying Dog, which is a national brand brewery.
So, yes, very big.
Something that everyone knows. And then come out, check out the band, and chat with us. This is your chance. You can be on our show. We will talk movies. We will talk TV. You'll see our brand new banner that we just got. It'll be unveiled starting this Wednesday. And a couple of our hosts.
Fancy.
Yeah. So we have a rotation of hosts that'll all be there each week. Someone different, someone the same, what have you. So look for that. We will also record and release. We released that episode back on Saturday of this week. So take a listen to that. Sounded like a lot of fun because it was. And we'll do it again every Wednesday.
I think next year we need to get them to change it to Tuesdays so that it can be Take Tuesdays.
Gene. Yes.
Genius.
Yeah. Don't worry about the beats. It's all about us.
Right.
Yeah. I will tell you, last week when we were there, some of like Hard Rock Cafe's corporate, like the corporate heads were there, and they were quite impressed with the whole getup, and they were impressed seeing us there. So they haven't called.
We didn't even have the banner yet. We didn't even have the banner.
I know. Crazy. We had.
They're just impressed with the business cards.
Yeah, exactly. And they were.
Oh, just wait. Stickers are coming too. We got it all.
We got it all, man.
We're up and coming. Speaking of that, we were also listed as top 15 right now in the TV film for on Podomatic up and coming podcasts. So we made the top 15 that they showcase on their on their website. We'll take it.
Keep listening. Keep downloading. Keep reviewing. Keep following. Check us out everywhere.
Say that part again. We need the iTunes. The ratings and reviews on iTunes is huge. Folks don't understand because that just allows more people to hear us and more promotion. And it's not so much for you or for us, but it's more for the listeners. It makes it easier for you to find us. So ratings and reviews are great. And then send us your stuff. Take2podcast@gmail.com is our email. @Take2podcast on Twitter. That's your best way to interact. We've actually been putting up a lot of polls lately, just some silly ones and some actual serious ones. Interact with the polls and give your votes. And then check out our blog. We put up a lot of stuff. We got a bunch coming out this week. Take2podcast.com.
Yeah, tell your friends. Keep listening. Say hi to your mother for me.
Best episode ever.
Yes, it was. No dead air whatsoever either. All right, episode 34. We're all wrapped up. That does it for us. Good night, everybody.